It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table. In our segment two, we are just so excited to be able to bring you a daily Bible study. It's so exciting. And Connie Stanfill is our teacher for the Gospel of Mark. Connie, welcome. And what are we going to be learning about today?
Well, today we're going to conclude chapter 9 of Mark, and we're going to find about temptations. We're also going to find out about trials and suffering. So Jesus continues to teach his disciples. I will read our section and then we'll talk through it. This is Mark chapter 9, verses 42 to 50. Jesus taught them, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." We find here in chapter 42, Jesus is, or verse 42, that Jesus is talking again about, he mentions little ones, and that refers us back to what we just, that object lesson where Jesus had taken a small child on his lap and told the disciples that if anyone would be first, he must be last and servant of all, and about how receiving a child, welcoming a child, serving a child is what Jesus does, and we're to be the same. So here we're talking again about little ones, and by the context, the little ones mean someone who believes in Jesus, perhaps a new follower, an immature follower of Jesus. And so Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone, which is actually the word is a donkey millstone. It's the ones that the donkeys pulled around to grind a large quantity of grain, were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And so Jesus is saying that there's severe punishment from God the Father for those who would lead a young believer, a little one, into sin. And so it's something for his disciples and us to consider carefully our words and actions. And are we doing anything that would cause someone new in the faith, someone immature, someone to perhaps start to doubt or to be led into sin? That's a very, very serious thing. It also teaches us that it seems like there are greater punishments for certain sins. And so Jesus is saying it'd be better for this person to be drowned immediately than to lead someone into sin like this. And so it just gives us a caution, and it tells us again how seriously God views sin, and also just how serious Jesus was about protecting and shepherding his little ones rather than doing the opposite, leading them into sin. And then Jesus goes on and he talks more about sin, because he tells them, he says, and if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled with two hands than to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. Now, we know already Jesus has taught that sin and the evil that is in us comes out of our heart. And so cutting off our hand can't really cleanse our heart. It can't change our heart. But Jesus is speaking in hyperbole. And he's really saying, if there's anything in your life that is leading you away from God, causing you to sin, you need to radically get rid of it. And if we think about, he talks about hands and feet and eyes, those speak in a way of ways that we could sin, because, you know, our hands rush into evil deeds, our feet take us places we shouldn't go, and our eyes see things, and it enters into our mind and our hearts because of things we see. And so it kind of makes sense that Jesus is using these illustrations, but I will read the rest of the illustration, then we'll talk about what Jesus is saying about hell. Then he also says, and if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. And so we're seeing when Jesus is talking about enter into life or enter into the kingdom of God, he's talking about eternal life. He's talking about life in the presence of God, that hope that we all have. And so that eternal hope is so much more important than anything that we could have or want in this world, especially that which is of sin and pulls us away from God. We also find Jesus talking about hell. And literally the word in Mark here, in both places where he says it, is Gehenna, which is an Aramaic word, which comes from a term or the name of a valley just south of Jerusalem called the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, or Ben Hinnom. And this is a place that we know well in Scripture because it's important for two reasons. One is it was a garbage dump, and there were fires burning there constantly to burn the garbage. And so everything associated with a dump and the stench and the disgust and everything is there. But it was also the place where the kings of Judah started the practice of sacrificing their children in the fire, specifically Manasseh and some of the other of the last really bad kings. And so the Gehenna had to do the association again with that child sacrifice, which was totally prohibited by God. And in our study guide, there's a few references in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles you can look at and see how that valley is named specifically as the place where that was done. So we find out Jesus is talking about hell as a real place, and he's picked and the name of it and the place where it is one known to all the people of that culture. They knew it to be a place of burning and terror and just awful, disgusting things. And then he talks about it being an unquenchable fire. And we find those same terms in Isaiah 64 at the end of book of Isaiah, where it talks again about things really in the same words that Jesus did. And it says in Isaiah 66:24, "And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me, for their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." And so similar terms, and when we think about worm, it could really speak to internal torment, and then an unquenchable fire, a constantly burning fire, speaks to external torment. Jesus is the person who used Gehenna 11 times throughout that are recorded in the Gospels. And then it's only recorded one other place in the Bible, and that's in James 3:6. And so Jesus talked about hell a lot, and we need to understand it's a real place. And he knew what it was like. And so he's describing it in terms of eternal torment. And we need to be aware of that and consider that. And so Jesus is saying it's very important not to go there. Really. And as a follower, you need to radically cut away anything in your life that would take you away from God and lead you on the path to destruction rather than the path to eternal life. And then he goes on and explains a little bit more in verse 49. He says, "For everyone will be salted with fire." And admittedly, this is a very difficult verse. It's puzzling to the Bible scholars. Nobody knows exactly what it means, but there's a couple contexts in the Bible that help us understand it a little bit. One is in Leviticus 2, verse 13, it talks about the grain offering is to be salted. And salt is a preservative, and it was also a valuable commodity. And so God had prescribed that the grain offering to be offered to him was to be salted. We also find in the Old Testament that Aaron and his sons were told that the salt was a covenant. And what was happening with the sacrifices were to be eternal and perpetual, a principle that would not go away. And so it was a permanent preservative type thing. So the salt of the covenant. And so we find that definitely salt has those two meanings. But here in Mark, when Jesus talks about it, he says they will be salted with fire. Fire usually means judgment. And so the question is, who is Jesus speaking to? Well, we know he's speaking to his disciples. He probably is also speaking in general to all people. And so I think the two ways to consider this passage are to, one, understand Jesus may be telling his disciples that they, as followers of him, will undergo difficulties and suffering and hardships and persecution to be salted with fire. But because he himself has undergone the most intense fire, the fire of God's wrath, the judgment of God, they will not go through that. And that's a huge blessing to them. The other part of it, though, is anyone who does not follow Jesus, who does not know him, who does not receive God's gift of salvation, they will go through the judgment of fire. They will be literally salted with fire. And so Jesus is talking about his mission, about what he's going to do for us, but also understand the stakes are really high. It's eternal life or eternal condemnation and destruction. And then in verse 50, Jesus says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? And we know Jesus has told his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount that you are the salt of the earth. In Luke, he told them to be careful to keep being salty, because if they're not, they'll be thrown out. And that seems to be the context here, as you need to stay close to me and be my disciple, to not be going off on your own, because if you go off on your own, you're worthless. You're like the salt that has become tasteless and has no purpose, and it just gets to be thrown away. So here we are. We're looking at what Jesus has said about sin, temptation to sin, about the consequences of sin, which is hell. And then truly, again, he's teaching his disciples what it means to follow him. That means to reject sin, to turn away from it, to not lead others into sin, and then to follow him so closely that we can do and say what he does, and so that we can be used by him in the world. That whole idea of salt being preservative or purifying is good, and truly it is a biblical principle that when we go through hard things or suffering or persecution, if we allow them to, God grows us to be more like Jesus.
Oh, amen. And may that happen with all of us when we go through those hard and difficult times. Ladies, you can find the notes for this on our website at naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about this.